Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Monday, movement, Milwaukee. Always conversations at the intersection of life, business, and community. Talking to people that do and care. One of my premises in life, I think everything in life flows through Wauwatosa in some way, shape, or form. It's one of those communities that's really kind of hyper-connected. Big enough at about, 50,000 people in Wauwatosa? Not too big, not too small. So it often feels like you can make a Wauwatosa connection when you meet somebody from Wisconsin because, well, the degrees of separation just kind of break down really, really quickly. Maybe that's the case today as we connect business and art on the Monday Upswing. Our guest is John Riepenhoff. He's the Executive Director of Sculpture Milwaukee. A little note here. He and I went to the same high school, Wauwatosa East. He's a bit younger than I am, but there's your proof that life always, in some way, shape, or form, flows through our hometowns. John and I have never met, though, oddly, but we come together today through his work at Sculpture Milwaukee, the annual outdoor public sculpture exhibition in downtown Milwaukee. Wherever you live, I always suggest that you get out and walk your main streets. Even in this e-commerce world of ours, taking time to walk the streets that are the most dense, that are full of businesses and buildings, really kind of provides additional perspective and gives us insight as to how cities work, how they connect us all to each other, and how they ebb and flow. And it's often our main streets that are so full of items to discover, right? New restaurants, new bars, new clubs, new businesses, new services, job and investment opportunities. And of course, public art. Now, this is my challenge to you this summer. Walk Wisconsin Avenue. Start at Marquette University and go all the way east down to the Milwaukee Art Museum. You're going to gain perspective. You're going to see development in a different light. And I think you're going to get a better appreciation for everything that's happening in the heart of the state here in downtown Milwaukee. Now, you may ask, what's the business case for all this public art, Jeff? Well, we're going to answer that on the show today. You may also ask, why do we need to bring in international artists and people from across the country when we have so many amazing artists right here in the state of Wisconsin and in Milwaukee? You know what? We're going to talk about that today on our show. And yes, you probably think you got to add some kind of technology or something to a walking tour of art, or I don't know, it's just going to be too boring for me. And contemporary art, it's just not approachable. It's just too funky and it's not for me. It isn't accessible. We're going to look into that today on the show as well. And finally, you may think, Jeff, I need something more than just art to get me to downtown Milwaukee. You know what? How about a beer? How about a beer with that? That always gets you going. We'll deliver that for you too. Art, business, community, beer, and more today on The Upswing. Our guest is John Riepenhoff from Sculpture Milwaukee. We'll be right back, introduce John, and talk about all that's new and what's coming to downtown Milwaukee this summer. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the Monday edition. Mondays are always about movement, and that's what we have today. Now in its eighth year, Sculpture Milwaukee is looking forward to another big summer as the annual outdoor exhibition of public sculpture in downtown Milwaukee sets up. The organization serves as a catalyst for community engagement, economic development, and creative placemaking. John Riepenhoff is the organization's executive director and is an internationally renowned artist, curator, and gallerist who lives and works right here in Milwaukee. John, thanks for taking time out of your morning to be here with us.
Thanks, Jeff. Happy to be here.
All right. Well, give us your background, John.
So, as you mentioned, I'm from Milwaukee. I grew up in Wauwatosa and was a student at UWM in the fine art program.
Okay.
When I was a student there, I started the Green Gallery, which I've been running for over 20 years. And in that time, I've also been a active artist, studio artist, and exhibiting artist. And last year, I was invited to curate, as a visiting artist, curate Sculpture Milwaukee.
Okay.
And in that process, I got very involved, and now I, as of last fall, I stepped into the executive director position.
And where's your original gallery, the Green Gallery? What part of the city are you in?
So the main brick-and-mortar gallery is on the east side. It's on Farwell Avenue in Curtis, 1500 North Farwell. We're open every Friday and Saturday from 1 to 5, and rotate shows almost once a month. And then very involved through that with doing international art fairs, curating exhibitions. We had a show up in Warsaw this week of a Milwaukee painter. So big part of what my adult life has been championing Milwaukee artists, exporting our culture here to share with the world, and also trying to really support artists from this region. The last month, I had a show up in Tokyo, in New York, curated another group show of Georgian artists from the Republic of Georgia in New York. And for me, finding like communities to Milwaukee's art scene and finding global peers is kind of another part of, you know, the conversation that I'm interested in as an artist, and also as now an artist running a major public art institution in Milwaukee.
Bringing Milwaukee art and culture to the world, and definitely your kind of globe-trotting, doing that each and every year. So what is the origin story of Sculpture Milwaukee? I mean, whose idea was it? I know we said we're in the eighth year, but kind of walk us through the beginning of it and kind of how it started.
Yeah, so Steve Marcus really had this kind of vision to activate the Wisconsin Avenue downtown here. So he wanted to have an annual exhibition of contemporary public art that could act as a draw for people and to bring them to see downtown in a new light. So the first exhibition was 8 years ago, and there was a group of curators who would curate the first several exhibitions, and then it'd be, you know, I think 12 to 20 artworks every year. And then after about 3 or 4 years of that, Sculpture Milwaukee started bringing guest curators. So we had artists like Michelle Grabner, who's a Wisconsinite, Theaster Gates, and Ugo Raninone before me were artists that brought in exhibitions. And what was exciting about having guest curators as a change from the original model is we started really connecting in meaningful ways to different artist communities around the globe. And I've curated last year's exhibition, Actual Fractals Act 1. And this year we're going to be launching the first week of June, Actual Fractals Act 2, which is kind of the second part and hopefully the final of my curated projects. As I'm now the executive director, I'll be bringing in other curatorial models.
So you kind of have, you have your boots on the ground in terms of curating the sculptures and the pieces, but you're also overseeing the organization, which I'm sure, you know, kind of gives you the CEO lens of it all. What, in terms of how it started, I mean, where did that original funding and infrastructure come from? Was it a kind of a Marcus family thing, or was it just started with the Downtown Business Improvement District, or who are the partners at the table?
Yeah, so we have a bunch of founding sponsors, and over 95% of our funding comes from private individuals and businesses in town. So we have a really strong group of passionate patrons or who are passionate about contemporary art. And it was Steve's leadership in that community that brought a lot of great families and businesses together. And actually, that's one of the things that I've been really focusing on since I stepped into this position is to make sure that businesses and individuals know that they can have access to art both from appreciation but also in a patronage standpoint, and to know to help people see how important it is to have art in the community. And there's very little we take very little public funds for this. It really comes from the businesses seeing the value in what we do and individuals seeing the value in what we do and generously supporting that. And for me, I've been really trying to center artists in that. So it's not just about the artwork. It's about who are the artists that we're supporting. And when you're working with living artists, it's really important and really rewarding to see that, hey, these you're supporting their life, their vision, and you get to kind of trap.
Yeah. Well, each one of the artists are running their own business. They got to get paid. They got to find a way to sustain and move forward so it all truly works together. So after the break, there's a bit of a community struggle. All communities struggle to fund the arts. And a recent Wisconsin Public Policy Forum study says, while mainly focused on the performing arts, Wisconsin's still trying to figure out what that funding mix is. I want to get John Riepenhoff's perspective from Sculpture Milwaukee. You're listening to The Upswing and WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the Monday edition all about movement throughout downtown Milwaukee. A new Wisconsin Policy Forum study says there's continued struggle to fund the arts in Milwaukee. John Riepenhoff is the executive director of Sculpture Milwaukee. John, as an artist yourself, how do you manage the business side of it all? Can the creative and business sides be in conflict?
Well, one of the benefits of being a working artist in Milwaukee is the cost of living is lower than other major cities.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
And so there is a balance between, the main product that artists are making is culture.
Yeah.
and balancing what are the aspects of that with, how do you keep the lights on and be able to continue to make work? So I think that there can be, if you work too much in just making a product and kind of trying to deliver, solve other people's problems, then that can distract you from kind of your own cultural critique and contribution from the outside, which I think.
Well, you make a great point that recruitment retention lens is something that's truly important, and public art plays a really important element of that. You look at the opening of the Baird Center this past weekend, there's 41 new pieces of public art in there that's funded by the We Energies Foundation. That's a part of their initiative to recruit and retain, but also enhance a beautiful public space. And it's all got to work together. So the end of the report says, in Milwaukee, if leaders, quote, wish to sustain a robust and diverse mix of small, medium, and large performing arts groups, then an organized effort is necessary. You think that we have that in the Milwaukee area? And can you talk a little bit as to what other cities are doing? Looks like there's some really good collaborative models in Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Kansas City.
Well, I know that statewide and nationwide that artists are underfunded. It's a huge deficit for across America right now. So Milwaukee and Wisconsin aren't alone, but there's more talent than there are tools to support them.
Yeah.
Sculpture Milwaukee came out of the downtown bid. So we started under their nonprofit. I think that shows that businesses understand the value of supporting public art, activating public space, and giving people, it's a mental health thing. It's giving us a sense of wonder. It draws people downtown. Other cities like Kansas City have long histories, track records of successfully investing in art and public art. Here it is the private sector who's been stepping up. From my position, since we don't have a brick and mortar at Sculpture Milwaukee, we don't have a gate that you have to pay to get in here.
Right.
I've committed to be the best partner and the best neighbor for all the other arts institutions in the region. And I think that does two things. One, obviously we can share our resources and kind of put forward the most interesting exhibitions for the public. But two, it projects an image and an identity of southeastern Wisconsin as not something that's fragmented, but that's something that's unified. So And diverse within that. You know, right. We don't do the same thing that Linden Sculpture Garden, the Walker Art Museum, the Haggerty, or the Walker's Point Center for the Arts do. We all have our own specialties, but we can kind of work together. So I think that there has been there's opportunity for businesses in downtown Milwaukee to understand, and in the greater region, to be able to understand and see the arts as a resource, and to see how it can help not only beautify their buildings and their campuses, and even if it's not something that they want to bring in and acquire, which I recommend people right. Supporting art and bringing it into their businesses that way, but also just the temporary art is nice, and I think that's one of the strengths of Sculpture Milwaukee is we put something on the street, people get used to seeing it for 6 to 18 months, and then it goes away. And it's not something like, oh, if I don't like it, it's okay. I just wait a little bit.
Right.
And if I like it, it might, or if I don't like it, maybe when it first arrives, maybe by the time it goes, that I'm going to miss it now too, because I learned something new about the world. And there's artists from Japan and Germany and all over the world that are on the street right now and are coming this fall or this spring. And, you know, a lot of Milwaukeeans don't have the privilege to be able to travel to Tokyo, but we can bring art from there here and kind of give people a different perspective for a lot easier.
And you're creating a bigger, better sense of place by bringing in sculptures from across the world and putting them in downtown Milwaukee. You're creating a more enhanced, wonderful sense of being in downtown Milwaukee, and that's what it's all about. I want to talk when we come back from the break about the Open Fund and an event that you have at Baker Tilly coming up, which is a private event, but it's called Sculpture at the Intersection of Art and Commerce. Welcome back to The Upswing. One of the world's largest outdoor art museums spans 5 miles throughout downtown Milwaukee. And the new version of it sets up shop in about a week and a half or so. John Riepenhoff, the executive director of Sculpture Milwaukee, joins us today. John, creative ways to connect the business world and the arts world. What's the Open Fund all about? And then you have an event at Baker Tilly that hopes to bring together the business interests and the creative interests in town. What do you hope to accomplish with that event?
Sure. So the Open Fund is a grant that started just several years ago that uses funds from the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Arts and the Ruth Arts Fund. And it's managed through the Poor Farm, which is an artist-run Kunsthal in central Wisconsin that is the artist Michelle Grabner, Brad Killam.
All parts of the state working together to fund the heart of the state. I love it.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is specifically designed to support artists, but not for individual projects of their own, but artists who are supporting other artists. So they're thinking systemically. It's public-facing projects, collaborative projects, and artists who are reinvesting the funds into other artists' work. So, that's something that it's, you know, private foundations that are supporting it, but it has really great public benefits. So, in a similar way, I think Sculpture Milwaukee getting a lot of support from the downtown businesses. Something similar happens where what's good for you is what's good for the community is good for you and vice versa. So we've been kind of working to Baker Tilly's been a anchor supporter from the beginning of Sculpture Milwaukee, and we're hosting a business event there for business leaders to kind of educate them and give them access to some of the tools that the art world provides. Okay. Now, one of the things, since I do administer a grant, I'm an artist, I run an arts business, these things kind of give me different values to understand the investment of Sculpture Milwaukee. There's so many opportunities running this organization. We're tracking how many artists, work for us. We're tracking how many regional businesses we support through our big, you know, rigging, installation, shipping, manufacturing. We're fabricating new work. So this event is kind of designed to talk about all the different layers of investment that Sculpture Milwaukee can do for an organization. People know about how it can bring beauty and wonder to our streets and our lobbies, in our offices, in our lives. But there's so many more layers of investment that our organization are making, and we're kind of getting our community members together and business leaders to talk about also what they see and what they value and what we do.
Well, with sponsorship of any point, you have that civic pride component for sure, but you want deliverables, and businesses want the return on investment. So what are the numbers? How many people are coming to see it? What's the touch point across the globe from the shipping side of it? And, you know, presenting that all in one package, you know, really creates the full look into the process. So that's a good event for sure. So how does someone from a kind of a residential level access and see this year's event?
So we make maps every year, and they're really great walking maps. You can do our exhibition in a few hours, walk up and down Wisconsin Avenue. We have our website, sculpturemilwaukee.com, that also has the map on there that's easy to see. And then there's object labels on the streets too. So hopefully you can see the art. Usually the art's, you know, bright or big or colorful, but there's also a lot of details about the artists on the street itself. And one thing that's a nice tie-in between business community and just pedestrians, you know, looking at the work is artists have a huge range of subject matter. And every year, you know, no matter what your interests are, could be, you know, water access, it could be different social justice or public health things, or advocacy for animals. There's every year there's something for everyone, and there's something that either your business or you as an individual will probably be able to find interest in through the topics that the artists are
All
presenting.
Right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the new beer that's going to help fund the initiative. And what if my kid just wants to jump on one of these sculptures and start climbing? Is that okay? All this and much more from John Riepenhoff from Sculpture Milwaukee. You're listening to The Upswing, and this is WGMJ. Sculpture Milwaukee hits the streets of beautiful downtown Milwaukee this summer, beginning June 3rd, and we get some insight and a bit of a scoop on what's coming to the heart of our state. Beer and art are coming together this summer, that's for sure. Sculpture Milwaukee's leaning into Brew City heritage by releasing a companion beer for the 8th edition of the open air exhibition that is Sculpture Milwaukee. John Riepenhoff, tell us all about the new beer.
So we worked with a local brewery, Company Brewing out of River West, and artist who's lived in Milwaukee for over a decade, Nat Piper, who's now based in New York, to develop a beer recipe and a design and a rebrand for Sculpture Milwaukee. So the beer itself is the container and the distribution method of our new brand identity and our rebrand.
Nice.
It's a big, bold, strong,
kind of bright yellow, kind of in your face, and, you know, not exactly a light lager either. It's what? You're about 8.8%.
Yeah, we wanted to. Yeah, it's high ABV, and we wanted to have it kind of complement the big presence that our monumental sculptures have down in downtown Milwaukee. So the beer also represents a couple other aspects of investment that we're making as a public arts organization or a arts organization in public spaces. One, it says that the engagement with sculpture, it doesn't begin and end with the sculpture. It actually begins and ends with our conversation and our engagement with the sculptures. So this beer, you know, you can get at St. Kate's Art Hotel. You can get at Classic Slice down in Bayview and even Downer Liquor up in the East Side. And it talks about how a lot of the investment in art is about the conversations and how people perceive it and how we're stewards of it through through talking and experiencing it.
All right. So some of the new sculptures that are coming to Wisconsin Avenue, you have a few that are right near here in the avenue. But where's the one that I can't just look at, but I might be able to climb and jump on?
So, yeah, usually you can't touch or climb any of the sculptures.
It's usually not encouraged.
But this year, yeah, we have several exceptions. So Sama Noguchi is a really important mid-century artist and designer who is not living today, but we were able to get two of his play sculptures. So they're big, red, stacked, octagonal shapes with holes in them. And they're actually designed as like a playground, really. So Those two, one's down in the third ward, and one's right here in front of 3rd Street Market Hall. And you can actually, if you don't have keys hanging off your belt.
That's right. No scratches.
Scratch them. Yeah. You can you engage by touching and climbing the sculptures. Okay. There's actually a couple other pieces in this year's show that are exceptions to the no-touch rule. One of them's a giant popsicle. It looks like a giant popsicle by Derek Adams, and that one is actually a bench that you can sit on.
Oh, nice. Where is that going to be located?
TBD.
I can't get all the information out of it.
And then Sarah Brahman has another piece that you can sit on. It looks like a giant concrete water kind of drainage element. It's actually made here in Wisconsin, and then there's these like kind of stained glass windows that are added to it, and that has both an element that you can sit on and the light can kind of come through the stained glass. And she said that she wanted to give people the experience of being color, and when the sun pushes through those windows and kind of projects on your body, you can kind of be the colors of the windows in that.
Well, I want to talk about the installation process. Can it be a little arduous in terms of cranes and coming down and making sure the area is clear? And I'm sure there's a lot of coordination that goes into that. We'll talk about that after the break. And I want to see, where are your favorite public art installations in the city of Milwaukee? And I need to get your thoughts on The Calling, the beautiful orange sunburst at the end of Wisconsin Avenue that some think might clash a little bit with the art museum, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe it connects really well. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. The new season of Sculpture Milwaukee begins Monday, June 3rd. John Riepenhoff is the executive director and joins us today. John, the installation process and the delivery of some of these amazing sculptures, how's that all happen? And does it always go smoothly?
So there's a lot of logistics. If you guys are out on the streets today or in, over the course of the next 2 weeks, you might see big metal sculptures being rigged and installed. You might see concrete being poured. A lot of this work, it starts months ago. It's creating, doing shipping logistics. Some of these giant sculptures are flown in. Some are on boats. trucks around Wisconsin and the U.S. It takes a specialist for each individual artwork has its own set of needs. So we've got a really pro team who actually are. Director of Exhibitions has been with the organization since the beginning. Amy kind of coordinates with the studio, the fabricators, and the property owners. And it's actually, I think actually some of the install is also very, one of the very
it's
entertaining
parts. It's art in and
parts.
Of itself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we often work really closely with the city to get permits, and you'll see cones and streets, you know, or not full streets closed, but lanes closed. And it's really kind of exciting. And it happens every May we install, and in every October we do some deinstallation as well.
Okay.
And then there's some works that kind of come in throughout other parts of the year as well. But a majority of our 2024 show will be installed in the today through the next 2 weeks. So by the first week of June, we start to have public events. We have tours. We have
trolley tours, opening exhibition. You have artist talks and a bunch of other things happening.
Yep. And so, you know, there's a lot of free events, and then there's other things that people want to kind of get more involved. They can find details about the tours, and we have an ASL interpreter tour on Friday, June 7th, and on Monday, June 3rd is the first kind of trolley tour.
Okay, very good. So what is your favorite public art installation in the area or even in the state?
So this is a little bit unfair because it's usually the newest thing is what I'm most spending most of my time in. Okay.
Even artists gravitate to the shiny new object. That's good.
But we have a brand new piece that was designed by artist Meg Webster. And Meg did a show at the Milwaukee Art Museum in 1991 as the Currents Projects. And for the lifelong Milwaukeeans listening to this, you might remember Courtyard in the upper level of the art museum that was open air. And Meg did this giant glass spiral and surrounded it with native plants. Now, through Uga Ranenone's exhibition and with some support from Michelle Grabner and the host organization, the Milwaukee Art Museum, at Museum Center Park, there's a kind of an improved and a remake of this historic work. And Meg was out here last week planting native species around this giant glass spiral. It's really an incredible piece. And I think it both speaks to the temporary kind of quality of art because the plants kind of grow and the piece, the sculpture changes during the seasons and then subsides and the plants, you know, die off in the winter. But it also talks about these longer durations of, you know, Milwaukee investing in contemporary art. And at the time in the 90s when Meg first did her piece, you know, she was younger in her career, and now she's a really established artist. And to think about Milwaukee taking risks of artists who, at the beginning of their career and really supporting and affecting not only our community here, but the art world and kind of affirming artists from this place. You know?
Yeah, nice circle of life. Nothing constant but change. That's a wonderful metaphor there. So I need we got about 30 seconds. The Calling at the end of Wisconsin Avenue, that beautiful orange sunburst that stands in front of the Milwaukee Art Museum. What are your thoughts? Some love it, some hate it. John Riepenhoff, Sculpts from Milwaukee. How do you weigh in?
I'm a fan. I think it's bright. It's optimistic. I think the location is really complimentary at the end of Wisconsin Avenue. You know, you can see it for a long time. And I think it's a nice compliment to the lakefront and the architecture down there as well.
Compliment or collaborate. Do both. They connect really well. John Riepenhoff, the executive director of Sculpture Milwaukee, that begins June 3rd here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Appreciate your time. And we look forward to seeing all the sculptures that begin installation today.